Blog Talk Radio.
We're now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Boom with the topic, sorta like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 knights at the round table, 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
What up, though? Yo, yo.
What up, though?
War Room family, the big show is back. You are once again live in that War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm the boy, Dev. I'm at the round table this evening with Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and B. Austin the HBC. That NFL free agent frenzy is in full effect. Your man Phil Jackson might be going to New York, and we're going to rap about all that and much more, but right now, make sure you join us in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can join in the conversations. You can also call us directly when we open up that Digital Extreme Tech hotline. The number, as usual, is 323-410-0012. In addition, make sure you make some time during the week to hear more great sports talk from some of our future network mates. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the War Room Sports Podcast Network will be launching. We don't have a solid date for you yet, but stay tuned, and that'll be launched pretty soon. But we got a few network mates that we want you to check out right now because they're already doing their thing. Check out Roy and Chris of the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. And check out our boy Brandon Pemberton on Sports Trap Radio every Thursday afternoon from noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio as well. Like I said, both of these shows will be featured on the upcoming War Room Sports Podcast Network. And in addition, don't forget, as usual, to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newvibradio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. That's phatzradio.com. Generals, what's going on?
Yo, what's really good?
My hitters. And why am I saying
Can any of you fellas explain the weather to me? It's 71 day, it's 29, 30 the next day. It might snow again.
Yeah, I don't know. Listen, man. Al Gore, man, after he invented the internet, right, he told us what was going on. We didn't want to believe him. We definitely didn't want to believe him. But at the end of the day, man, like, I don't know. There's nothing else you can say. If you don't believe in climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it, yo, something is wrong with you. It was literally like close to 70 degrees yesterday. Last night, the wind was acting crazy. I thought I was in Chicago last night. The wind was going ballistic. And this morning, yo, it was Dominique Wilkins, it was hawking out there, yo.
Yo, damn all that. I'm going to just say this. I was outside yesterday balling, running up and down the court with my young bulls with no shirt on.
Uh-oh.
Today
you got, like, long john shirt.
I got frostbite.
Today you got pneumonia. Yo, it's out of control, yo. I'm telling you.
We got some stuff here on today's episode. We got a lot of heat to bring you guys, so we can at least heat it up, warm it up until the weather cooperates again. So let's jump right into it and let everybody know what happened this week while y'all were on the grind. And, of course, while y'all were on the grind is brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, order yourself a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, then you got to have DirecTV. All right, first one, and I suggest you brothers get your finger on the JoJo button because the first story here, this, we're going to start out, this is a doozy, and this actually happened maybe about 2 weeks ago, and we never got around to talking about it. I guess because the ground is always filled with ratchetness, you know, we run out of room sometimes. So we just put this one on the back burner. Ben Wallace reportedly has gotten a groupie chick pregnant, but his wife takes to Twitter to air out the groupie chick and not Ben Wallace.
Air her
like,
out.
Yo, she, I don't even think she was on Twitter before this. I think she made a Twitter
created,
account.
Created fake accounts. Multiple.
Yeah, and she's, and, but the thing is, I don't know if, you know, you guys out there listening have seen the actual tweets, but all of them are directed towards the girl. None of them are, you know, she doesn't seem mad at Ben Wallace. And, it,
ahead,
and it's kind of weird. She even went,
she knows
she
where
even went as
is.
Far as to say, you ever tell him you're not ready for a baby and he asks you if you know how many women ask for his baby. Something crazy like that. She's basically saying, my husband's an NBA champion. On one of them, she said he's an NBA champion. He's 6'8", 280, and I don't want him to be offended. I think this is because somebody asked, why are you going at her and not going at him? So what do you guys think about
that? Go ahead, Austin. I got to stop laughing. Go ahead, good brother.
What's up with Shonda Wallace, man? She's in
Shonda, I'm going to be honest, man. Shonda, everybody in this situation is FUBAR. And if you don't know what FUBAR means, shout out to World War II age military gentlemen for coming up with that. This is FUBAR. First of all, Shonda, like, she knows what side her bread is buttered on. So I guess she's trying to stay around with all of the money instead of going into that divorce area and only getting half the money. But she's kind of playing herself for going after the side chick as opposed to having this conversation with her 280-pound, 6'8", bum of a husband who tricked the people into believing that he could play basketball. The side chick,
yo.
Side chick, you got to stay out of sight, yo. You got to stay out of sight.
Excuse me, man. Yo, I'm dying. Y'all don't think y'all know I'm dying over here.
Jimmy, she asked the girl, why you erase all your old tweets talking about my husband? You still having his illegitimate baby? Like,
yo.
What about dude?
Yo, all right, let me speak on it, man. Listen, yo, everybody involved, yo, I'm laughing because I keep thinking, like, it could be worse, right? Because I guess she could have, like, not took the Twitter, and she could have went to her crib on some Goodfellas type stuff. Yo, Goodfellas.
Hold on. I have the best part of this whole story, which I don't think Dev reported. They say when Ben Wallace found out, he blacked out and ran into a tree. He passed.
It gets better. All right, first off, V. Austin, you're trying to slander Ben Wallace. I got to give Ben Wallace props, man, because he was a smart individual who realized, listen, I can't do none of these things. I don't have the skill set. I'm going to focus on one thing and make a nice, long career. Yo, hacking and grabbing rebounds.
And
but
rebounding.
Guess what, though? He's had a solid career just for somebody who's so one-dimensional, so you got to give him props for that because there are a lot of guys
he
who probably would have
made
longer
a couple
careers
all-star
and
teams
more
prosperous
careers.
Exactly.
Yo, control your baby mother,
Ben
B. Wild. Yo, he is out of control, but...
Hey,
but Dev, you do remember the Goodfellas incident, yo.
Oh, yeah. She's a whore.
She's a whore.
Listen, though, the part that B. Austin was just talking about, you know, of course, you know, police sources said an SUV belonging to Ben Wallace crashed into a fence outside a home in Henrico County. This is VA. They said the person who belonged, you know, the person whose house, whose fence he ran into, he said he dialed 911 after he heard a loud boom around 2 a.m. at his home. When he went outside to see what happened, he found pieces of his fence scattered throughout his yards. I mean, his yard. The dude said it was dark, but it's clear from here I saw one person trying to fight to get out of the car. And then he said he saw a man pick up and smash pieces of wood against the fence because he was angry. So he smashed his car into the fence. He got out the car and then started beating up the fence some more because he was angry because his groupie was impregnated, and he just smashed his car because of
Ben. Shout out to Ben for at least beating up the fence and not beating up any chicks. So
but I think he
speculated.
He had to think the situation was going to go differently. Had he known his wife was going to react like this, he may not have been that upset. Because his wife keeps saying, yeah. She, in one tweet, she actually asked the girl, do you know how many women have offered to have his baby? Like, you're defending this
dude. You know what, though?
Who's bringing an illegitimate child into your household. She's way in denial.
Yo, man, yeah. this is just
Shanda,
how the behavior is, man.
Shanda is not your typical basketball wife. Shout out to Drea. She's not an ugly child. She's very average. She's
call
very
her a child,
plain.
Though.
She's very
so was her
Pentecostal. No, it was a come up for Ben in terms of the look situation. Like, if put it like this, if Ben didn't play basketball, he wouldn't have her. He definitely
right,
have her.
But here's the thing, though, yo. Regardless of all that, though, this behavior, to be honest with you, is typical of most of them. When they say NBA wives, yo, when you look at the amalgamation of all the wives and girlfriends of NBA players, yo, yo, this is their typical behavior. And most of them don't look like the ones that make it to TV, which is why the ones that make it to TV make it to TV.
That's right.
That's
make
one
it
thing.
TV.
Exactly. That's one thing. Second thing is this, though. Everybody involved looks terrible. I mean, the girlfriend looks terrible because, yo, you let it be known you got knocked up by this young man. I mean, the wife looks
Ben
terrible
Wallace,
because she's spazzing up. Ben Wallace looks completely, yo. He embarrassed himself, yo. He embarrassed Rasheed Wallace, Larry Brown, Chauncey Billy. He embarrassed everybody, yo. And this whole situation, man, only thing I can say about everybody involved in the situation.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
And we got Doc Bay house with us for this next one, man, we're about to go to. What's going on, Doc Bay?
How you doing, fellas?
All right.
Oh,
this
man.
Dr. Bayon.
Great to be in the presence of Dr. Hood.
Minnesota rep Pat Garofalo took to Twitter Sunday night, and he was talking about the NBA. And I guess his conversation was surrounding things that we say all the time, like, you know, the NBA is terrible. They probably can contract some teams, you know, get rid of some teams, some players, whatever. He took to Twitter Sunday night and said, let's be honest, 70% of teams in the NBA could fold tomorrow, plus nobody would notice a difference, with possible exception of increase in street crime. You know,
yo,
social media
out.
Flipped on its head. What do y'all think about his comments, man?
I would like to take the time to say shout out to some of our community. Shout out to Justin Bankers and Frank Tropolinski, good Midwestern Caucasian gentlemen who just wouldn't stand for such a thing because racism doesn't exist in America. We're post-racial. We're in a post-racial society.
Oh, name and name.
Man, all I have
by
to
the
say
way,
is,
he's being sarcastic because you know some people can't read your sarcasm, and just want to know you're being very sarcastic.
Absolutely.
What's interesting
is
Minnesota could be one of those teams that could be contracted.
Should
I'm not
be.
Saying they should be contracted,
no,
but being
be.
In Minnesota, that cold weather, football town, I don't know the last time they had a sellout, so they could just take all those players and, like, divvy them up between the rest of the Western Conference. And in terms of the racial content, or I guess he's assuming that Caucasian and also Hispanic and Asian basketball players are into crime as well. That just relates that, okay, well, if you don't play basketball, you're just a gangbanger with a jump shot.
Well, I mean, because, you know, that's exactly how, you know, a lot of people perceived it. And I can definitely – I mean, it seems obvious that that's where he was going with it. Of course, he gave the obligatory apology, stuck by his words after a few days, but he still gave the obligatory apology. He says, "I sincerely apologize to those I unfairly criticized."
I mean, here's
mind
the thing,
you,
though, at
guy,
the end of the day,
this guy is seeking a sixth term coming up. In
well,
the
that's
fall.
What I'm saying. At the end of the day, we'll see. We'll see how whether his constituents put him back in the position again.
Yeah, I mean,
the funny
it's
thing
Minnesota,
is, he's
though.
Not.
Maybe.
Let me finish. Let me finish
his constituency.
Let me finish the apology. He said the NBA has many examples of players and owners who are role models for our communities and for our country. Those individuals did not deserve that criticism, and I apologize. So he's still basically saying, like, I was still talking about a lot of y'all. So,
yeah, but I'm saying you're just going to judge the entire group by a few. NFL
higher.
Crime rate is way higher than the NBA, for one. For two, I mean, if you look at crime throughout the country, I mean, although we make up a majority of the people in the prisons, I mean, that's due to the prison industrial complex, white folks actually commit more crimes than we do. White folks sell more drugs than we do. White folks use more drugs than we do. Who knew?
No,
no one ever knew that, though. You know, because
that's not the picture
that's
you're
painted.
Lying. You're lying. Take that back. Take that back.
B. Austin, in the words of Juan Lemming, numbers never lie. So at the end of the day, if you look at the statistics, right, this guy is misinformed. He's being very ignorant. And, you know, what could happen at this point? He has his position, but if he's running for re-election, you know, we'll see what happens then.
I think
and if they put him back in because it's Minnesota, guess what?
Yeah.
You think he does represent him?
Yeah.
I mean, that could be possible as well. It could be possible that his constituents feel the same way. I mean, you know,
listen,
at the end of the day,
Jimmy,
the Norwegians.
Jimmy, he's had six terms, or he's going in for his sixth term, which means over the last five terms that he's had, I'm quite sure he's let sentiments like this slip out that were less sensational about smaller topics. People know how he is.
And this is true, Another thing is also, like, facts don't matter anymore in our country, in our world. It's all about perception. Facts just don't even matter.
Yes.
So at the end of the
numbers
day.
Numbers never lie.
shout out to Juan Lemming. all I'm saying is this is a total disgrace, man. I mean, but it is Minnesota. No one cares what happens in Minnesota. They also elected Jesse the Body. Wasn't that Minnesota that did that?
Yeah, he's a governor, so who takes that seriously up there?
But he's
he lied about being a special ops.
And it's just cold as hell, so his brain probably frozen. You know, you say dumb stuff when your brain get cold.
You made an interesting point, Doc Bay.
He's living off the grid now. He said he's living off the grid of the World Wide Web and America and everything because he thinks it's all about.
Yeah, I watched his show a couple of times. Like, dude, like, some conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
He's out of control, yo. He's out of control. But, Doc Bay, you made a point in terms of whether basketball could work in Minnesota. Yo, when you look at a lot of Midwestern towns, I mean, yo, it just basketball just doesn't work. They don't care. They just don't care.
Except for Indiana.
I mean, so they probably should be Indiana, like, basketball is from Indiana. Like, basketball is Indiana. I mean, also, Chicago would be a Midwestern town, but, you know, it's a little different, you know.
Okay,
Chief. Chief. But,
Minnesota ain't been
for right now.
J.R. Ryder.
Yeah. Hockey,
you talking about
hockey is more popular in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'm saying hockey is more popular than basketball in Minnesota, probably.
Oh, yeah. Because they play hockey out
Minnesota's
the streets, so they play on lakes. It's so cold out there.
All right, so anyway, man. But at the end of the day, let's move on, yo.
Representative
Garoppolo.
We got somebody else who probably should be ashamed of himself, Oscar Pistorius. As you all know, his trial for the murder of his girlfriend is going on at the moment. But a couple days ago, there was testimony being given about the graphic nature of the crime, and he actually vomited in court. And they had to stop the proceedings, get him a bucket, see if he could go on, this and that. So he was sick throughout the proceedings. What do you guys think about that? Is he just a good actor? Or is this telling you that, you know, this crime was too graphic for him to have committed because of his reaction? Or what? Is it just Hollywood
Oscar? You didn't get sick when you were hacking her up?
I mean, his name is Oscar.
Sick now.
His name is Oscar.
You didn't get sick. You didn't get sick. Exactly. Your name is Oscar. I think that, honestly, all you know, this is not a subject we can or should make light of. Someone's life has ended as a result of a heinous act. My take on him throwing up is the guilt, the pressure, and the stress of all of this coming to light and the impending decision regarding his fate. It's just weighing on him now. You know, right. He's forced to face what he's done. Can't run.
That's right.
Go ahead, Jim.
I was just going to say he's being forced to stand up like a man and, you know, look at what he's done. No pun intended. No pun intended. But at the end of the day, B. Austin has made a complete 180 on this gentleman. I remember during the Olympics, he was so proud of this guy and all this. And now he's playing a football game, yo.
He fooled you.
Yo, but Jimmy, come on. That was before I knew that he was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I mean, I thought he was just Blade Runner.
That's before you knew he laid the murder game down?
Yeah, you laid a murder game down on innocence. You got to go.
Yeah, I mean it is what it
is.
I have nothing else to say about the story.
You need more people.
Yeah, pretty much. Like that's all I have to say. I mean, we'll see when more facts come out. I guess he's trying to hang out there as long as he can.
Yeah, he's maintaining that, you know, the killing was accidental because he thought she was an intruder, and he shot her through the door of a toilet cubicle, you know. But, no, it could be like what
Wilson
said. It could be,
if you believe
guilt,
that,
like
you believe.
Sitting here testifying, and the testimony is telling you exactly what you did that night, and you could be real nervous because you're wondering how they knew. That could be the pressure. You know what I'm saying? They even said that, you know, because of where the bullets entered, you know, because of the bullet wounds, they've already come to the conclusion that he shot her, you know, without his blades on because they came from a lower point in her body.
Up under her chin.
I mean,
Oscar's in trouble, and Oscar knows he's in trouble. All right, so Oscar, you know, pretty much if you did this.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
All right, and the last doozy of the day, which probably will also be a JoJo nomination, Floyd Money Pretty Boy Mayweather, pound for pound greatest fighter in the world at the current moment. He has a little situation brewing. He's in a little bit of trouble because he allegedly orchestrated a beatdown on two of his employees because he suspected them of stealing jewelry from his house. Now, these two employees were people who were renovating his home. Some jewelry came up missing. They automatically blamed these guys. The guys told the police that Floyd called them to some location, some private location.
In the desert.
And his bodyguards beat the living crap out of these dudes. Like, they said they had broken arms, broken legs, and they're saying the beating was so bad that Floyd and his bodyguards could potentially face first kidnapping charges for luring these people to this place against their – and then they said it could be charges of attempted murder. They beat them so badly. What do you guys think of this? Like, is this worth it? $20,000 worth of jewelry? You got hundreds of million dollars on the line? They got to be a better way
make,
to handle stuff.
What did he make off his first fight? He made like, I mean, his last fight, he made like 50 or 45 million, right?
Yeah, and that's just from the purse, man. Cool. That's not even from the business.
Yeah, the purse. That's not the pay-per-view.
That's not even the
so
whole
thing. So how does $20,000 worth of jewelry, forget the principal, why would you even put yourself in that situation?
I'm going to tell you why.
I mean,
especially being there.
Because dude said Floyd was there. Like, he lured them
there. I'm not justifying
this at
all, yo.
If it's going to happen, then it should happen where they don't know Floyd has anything to do with it. I'm not trying to tell people how to do crime, but if you're going to do that, don't be a part of it.
Yo, Floyd really was on some Heisenberg. He was on some Heisenberg stuff. But listen, though, Here's the thing. I'm laughing because in our chat room, shout out to Skyview Kevin. He said, I live in Vegas. If somebody tells you to go to the desert, don't go. I don't care if Obama invites you. But
no doubt.
Here's my point, though. I cannot justify this. I don't know what he was thinking by putting himself in harm's way. He has a lot to lose. It's not like, you know, he's a broke individual without a source of income or a life for that matter. He has a lot to lose. But I can tell you exactly what he was thinking and why he put himself in that situation. He wanted it to be known. I don't think he wanted to go this far, but he was doing this not for them but for the next person. And that's what he was thinking. He was like, I have to do something because if not, all my employees will try me and people will steal from me, so I have to make an example out of these gentlemen. At the end of the day, he probably didn't want it to go this far, and he played his whole life away.
I know this isn't street code, Jimmy. I know this ain't street code, and it's not
I'm telling
hot.
You what he was thinking.
Not
I'm not saying it's
no,
right.
No, I'm just telling
you.
I know this point of view ain't hot. It ain't tough. But if you want to make an example out of them, get these gentlemen arrested. You have way too much to lose to try to have this street persona and sending out messages.
I agree. And I ain't trying to tell nobody to do that business either, but you got to make them disappear, like, you know, because now they're going to testify against you. That's worse. If you're going to lay the murder game down, lay the murder game down. You know what I mean?
Right.
But,
exactly.
Whoa,
like,
that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying it. Like, I'm not saying, like, he plays for the New England Patriots. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying
I'm actually with Jimmy. Like, I'm not condoning crime and all that kind of stuff, but if you're going to do something, do it right. Don't do it to leave the dudes to talk and tell the people that you lured them somewhere and you were there and you got beat down inches from your life. Like, come on.
What are you doing? That's what I'm saying. Like, that's all I'm saying, man.
Yo. And then they're maintaining that they're innocent, and they're saying that sources close to the situation.
Yeah. To all the killers and the $100 billers.
They're saying that sources close to the situation are saying that Floyd now may know, he may realize that they really didn't do it. So that's going to make the situation even worse. Like,
damn.
Now you might be admitting secretly that you had these dudes beat down for no reason whatsoever.
He probably found the jewelry.
It probably was under his bed.
He found it somewhere else.
His girl probably took it to get it clean.
Misplaced his own jewelry and ended up finding it and realizing what a nincompoop he is. This is bad on a couple of levels. First of all, you're an idiot. Like, first of all, you're like before I even get to the fact that you're a coward, you're an idiot.
Damn.
You're an idiot. Like, you're an idiot because, as my brothers have stated, you did the wrong thing, and now you risk having what I call civilians tattletale on you because they don't adhere to any street justice codes of not snitching. They're going to tell you damn near took their life. That's
He's
first.
Rich.
That's why you're
I'm
an
telling
idiot.
Too.
Secondly, you're an idiot because if you think for one second that the security that you hired and the cronies and the goonie squad that you roll around with, you have enough money to buy their loyalty? Come on, man. When they're faced with football numbers for this, because you are going to
start first 48 of them. Because even if he wasn't there, guess what? When those dudes get those numbers thrown at them, they're going
to
make it like he was there.
Mm-hmm. So you have two levels of people where the snitching can come from. So you have now set yourself up for snitch to be snitched on because the people that actually put the work in, that actually went out and did the Aaron Hernandez, they're going to tell. They're going to tell just as well as and the DA is going to realize this and start offering deals. So you're in trouble there, buddy. You're in trouble there.
Keeping it on the sports, though, it's going to be crazy because this guy – is literally the most like gifted boxer probably of our lifetime, and he's going to go down. If this is going to happen, if this is going to happen, he'll be taken down by his own stupidity. It don't have nothing to do with what happens in the ring.
But it's very sad.
It's a sad thing, yo.
Let me finish out. If you're going to adhere to some level of street justice, you have to do your dirt all by your lonely, all
Shout
by your lonesome. Shout out to my man from Jersey. You have to do it all by your lonely, because now you've created your own nexus of snitchery that's going to happen to you. It's going to happen. It's going to go down.
Here,
like, mark my
words. Be Austin.
Now you're a coward.
To your point, though.
Why are you a coward?
To your point, though.
Why
to your point,
you
this, though. Listen. Mm-hmm. Because of how everything went down, even if he wasn't there or he had nothing at all to do with it, he's a big name. So they may lie.
Right.
They may not even tell the truth, because a lot of snitches lie to begin with. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he gets out of this. I mean, other than the plea. I mean, it's a lot of ways he can get out of this. Other information could come out. I don't know what he's saying, but at the end of the day, man, this is bad. This is bad. I don't
know
if the next fight will happen.
He's already at the fight on the table. The coward end of this, because you know me, and I got to take as many shots at dude as I can for what he does to the black community, in my opinion. So you're already known for being a bit of a world star. You're from the world star generation. So you already make an ass of yourself in public. Now, we already know that you put your hands on one of your lady friends who has your child. So you're known as a woman beater. You're a professional athlete with deadly hands, and you put your hands on women. But when it comes time to show up and talk to two dudes over jewelry, no, you want to bring out the gorillas. You're Floyd Money Mayweather, but you want to bring out the gorillas and have 9 and 10 and 12 and 15 dudes beat down two people in the desert as opposed to handling your business like Joe Pesci would have. Come on, man.
Yo, they said that they used, when I read the story, it said they used clubs. Like, first of all, what the hell is a club? Like, I don't even hear that word anymore. Was it a bat?
And
where do you buy a club?
Like,
was it a golf club? Like, where do you buy clubs?
Did you put on your car, B?
Yo, I hope it wasn't that. That's one of the heaviest. Yo.
That would hurt.
Anyway.
A lot.
Floyd, you might be in trouble, man. If this story is indeed true, then, you know, just like everyone we talked about a few minutes ago.
You should be ashamed of yourself. The way you carry yourself.
Hey, yo, Dev, before we move on, right, I don't know if we should take our vote yet, but just give us a quick recap of the nominees and why they're nominated for this award, yo, because we have four nominees.
For the JoJo Award, the Ben Wallace story impregnates a groupie and his wife airs the groupie out on Twitter. I think everybody in this situation is a nominee. I mean, you got Ben impregnating the groupie, and then his wife, I think his wife is the bigger nominee then. So it's two from that story. You got the Minnesota State rep who, with the perceived racist remarks about the NBA. You got Oscar Pistorius, you know, Erland in court, whether or not he was acting or he's just feeling the pressure. And now you got Floyd Mayweather and his ordered beatdown of the two employees who never really stole his jewelry.
Here's what's crazy about this JoJo Award, when we do the JoJo Award. It's like you hear one story and you be like, oh, they definitely going to win. And then as the stories come on, they get worse and worse. It's like, Pistorius is like, there's no way he can win this week. You know, that's how bad these stories are.
In a normal, normal circumstances, tell you that his whole thing is crazy. It's egregious. But looking at all the other stories, it's tame.
For those in the chat room listening, hit us up and let us know who you think won the JoJo Award, who should be ashamed of themselves, who's embarrassed their entire family. Because there's a lot of great nominees this week, yo. I think I know who's going to run away with it. I don't think it's even close, to be honest with you. Given my vote right now. It's going to be Floyd.
We'll revisit by the end of the show.
You want to go on? We can revisit later, because you know why?
Yeah,
because we may have some more than the course of these stories.
Yeah, that's true as well. So give some of these birthday shout-outs real quick.
Let's go. The birthdays are brought to you by Dr. Monique Rowe of Alexandria Podiatry Associates for the best and comprehensive treatment to injuries. If you have an injury to your foot, your ankle, your lower extremity, visit Dr. Monique Rowe. And make sure you tell her that War Room Sports sent you. She works at Alexandria Podiatry Associates. They treat patients in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area. Go to alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. That's 703-379-0700. And make sure you get the hookup, because, you know, you let her know we sent you, you get the hookup. Get your feet taken care of, yo. A lot of y'all got bad feet. Anyway, the birthdays this week.
Right.
Good birthday.
That's why I ain't, if you're wondering, that's why I didn't marry you. Y'all know who y'all are. But.
You don't want feet. Yo, anyway, listen, though.
Don't do the bad.
Yo, you got me all off my square. Listen, Caron Butler turns 34. Bobby Jackson. I haven't heard Bobby Jackson's name in a while. Yeah, yeah. That may be one of the worst nicknames in the history of, like, life. But anyway, this man's nickname is Tough Juice. But, yo, let's move on. Bobby Jackson turns 41.
Bobby Jackson.
Trent Dilfer, the great Super Bowl-winning Trent Dilfer, turns 42. And Vance Johnson. Is he now? Is he saying Trent Dilfer is better
amigo.
Than McNabb? You really want to make the argument?
Amigo. Amigo. All right. I can make
three amigos.
Vance Johnson turns 51. So we have Caron
like
Butler,
Bobby Indian
Jackson,
woman.
Trent Dilfer, and Vance Johnson all having a birthday.
Jimmy.
We'd like to give a nice, big, warm salute to all these gentlemen. What's up?
It's my birthday. Yay!
Is Vance Johnson the one, because out of the amigos, he used to wear his hair, like, combed backwards?
Yeah.
Real greasy?
Yeah.
Looks like an Indian
yeah,
woman.
I just
wanted to throw him under the bus for that.
Yo, shout to Jeffrey in the chat room. He said Floyd, hands down, wins the award. He said any story that has a club in it automatically earns you the JoJo Award.
Yo, they beat you with clubs, but they couldn't find baseball bats, man.
Yo, they
I still want to know what kind of
hands.
Like,
it's annihilation
hands. Martial arts store or something? Martial arts store to pick up the club?
Yeah, club, like is that like what cavemen used to use or something? Club.
Captain Caveman.
All right, real quick before we jump back.
Why did Floyd get all of those dudes when he could have just paid Adrian Broner?
Yeah, that's true. Adrian Broner would have just went and bit the dude or something. All right, but y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. You can find out what's going on with us and the company, the shows, everything we got going on. Click on that Contact Us tab while you're on the website to send us a message about the company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us, info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab. Make sure you buy some War Room Sports merchandise. We got shirts, hats, buttons, bags, everything you need. We got it. Also, click that blog tab to read our latest sports articles on the All Fair and Sports and More blog. Shout out to all the writers who writes for that blog. Then you can click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, to download our free War Room Sports mobile app, and to watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Right now, while you're listening, join the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, you can sign into your Facebook or Twitter accounts, and while you're at it, click follow so you can get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show. But to call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline, which we are opening right now. That number is 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when you're prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Jimmy, what's going on in the association, man?
Yeah, let's talk some NBA, man. By the way, for those listening, because I got, like, several text messages and all kinds of tweets and everything, cats want to talk about the NFL. We're going to get to that soon, but got to go through the NBA real fast, and then we'll talk. Everybody wants to talk about their team and what free agent they should have got or they didn't.
Thing of ours.
Yeah, we have to talk about La Costa Nostra right now because, you know, I know everybody loves football, but, you know, as my man Curtis Blow said. Anyway, listen, before we get into the NBA, let me let you know that it's brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Go to our site, which is warroomsports.com, and click on the Fanatics logo on our main page or our sponsors page and get the latest in NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, NCAA gear, and more. WarroomSports.com, click the Fanatics tab. All right, what'd you say now, Curtis?
I said, oh,
Curtis! Yo, NBA Players of the Week this week, although everyone hates his guts, Carmelo Anthony.
And also,
B. Austin's favorite player. He's in B. Austin's top three players in the league. James Harden wins the
Beard
award again. Beard gang's in the building. Dev, what do his stats look like?
All right. Well, Carmelo and the Knicks, he led them to a 3-1 week. I think they might be on a 4-game winning streak now as we speak. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. He averaged 29 points a game, 5.3 rebounds, 4.8 assists, and 2.7 steals. Okay, Melo,
I'm playing defense.
Up. No
doubt.
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah. He's not a winner, though.
And then the Beard led the Rockets to a 4-0 week. The Rockets are actually, you know, waking up at a good time. Not that they were really asleep, but, you know, they're starting to show that they may end up being a force to be reckoned with when the playoffs start. They were 4-0 last week, including wins over the world champion Heat, the Indiana Pacers, and the Portland Trailblazers. So they beat three good teams last week. The Beard averaged 30.3 points a game, 6.8 assists, 2.5 steals, and he gave 41-10 rebounds, that is, and 6 assists when they beat Portland in overtime. So shout out to Carmelo and shout out to James Harden, you know, two guys who have won this award several times this season.
Yeah, James Harden playing with attitude, yo.
Yeah,
I don't know like where it came from or what got somebody got under his skin or maybe he got him a new hooah or something because he's playing Cowboy basketball right now.
He talked
all
to
that
some of the Cowboys down
in the
Texas. They gave him a cowboy hat. He wore it, and then his attitude just changed. It got aggressive.
He should probably keep wearing the hat then because like the way he's playing right now, he's playing with an attitude. I haven't seen this out of him since he's been there. He's just showed every once in a while in OKC, but he's balling. And for all
playoff.
The Carmelo
hate,
man.
He has to do it in the
playoffs. He's dudes down there for that oil. Getting it in.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, we'll see how they go, you know, once this regular season ends. We'll see if they can make some noise in the playoffs and actually prove. Like, if they made some noise in the playoffs, we know Harden has the numbers. We know he has the fans who, you know, as of a year, 2 years ago, wants to put him up there as one of the top, if not the top shooting guard in the league. You know, it's going to be time to show and prove. Like, you're the leader. You guys are going to be in the playoffs. You know, you got your big man, got a nice team around you. It's time to make some noise to justify what, you know, a lot of us have been saying.
Oh, yeah, they were already saying he's the best two guard in the league. I mean, you know, when he got in the finals that time, though, he went ghost.
His last two playoff series have been horrible. And I'm a James Harden.
Yeah, I know Doc Bay is always Doc Bay always slandering James Harden, yo.
In the playoffs.
Yo,
slanders him out of love, though.
It's real talk.
Slanders him out of love.
It's real talk. It's real talk.
All right,
as big of a fan.
If he was my son, I would say the same thing.
as big of a fan as I am of him, it really disappointed me when he didn't show up in the playoffs because I thought, you know, after he did the thing to the Spurs, you know, he got on national TV and stopped, you know, throwing gang signs after he hit every three ball and
he looked scared.
I don't know what it
is. All right, but listen, though. Let's move on, though. The other player of the week was Carmelo. And speaking of Carmelo and his New York Knickerbockers, Phil Jackson, the Zen Master, allegedly he signed in New York to be the president, although, you know, from what we hear, he doesn't want to work in New York. He's going to run the Knicks from Montana. So, but the Knicks are back.
Can I analyze here about Carmelo?
Go ahead.
What's interesting is that as soon as you hear the talk about Phil Jackson going to take over, it's like Carmelo starts playing the way that a lot of pundits, including myself, has felt he should play. You know, when you can score 30 a game any night, then it comes to, okay, what else can you do to keep your team afloat regardless of the talent level around you? Now, they're not a championship team, but could he do a little bit more passing? Could he play a lot more defense, you know, at least to make them as best they could possibly be with the, you know, non-talented guys around him? So for him to be averaging like 5 assists and 3 steals, that's beautiful, along with
I think it might be the other guys playing better.
Because LaMar is playing well.
And he got his center back, too. He got his center back. There were guys that were injured that just weren't there for the entire season that just came back. And they're playing good ball as a team. So I don't know if it's the thing with Phil Jackson, but it's interesting because, as it was just mentioned in our chat room by Skyview Kevin, Kobe is pissed about Phil. So Phil Jackson takes over in New York. Kobe's asked about it. Kobe's pissed. He doesn't want to play for D'Antoni because he wants to play for
Magic
Phil.
Magic as well. Magic has been tweeting to the Lakers organization. I don't know why he can't just call him. He's Magic.
Well, here's the thing.
Twitter
about Magic and the Magic and the current regime don't really get along. You know, Magic was the owner in the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so
when Dr. Buss died and his son took over and his son laid out his plan, Magic sold his shares and went to the Dodgers. He's like, I don't want to do business with him, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So he came on the Lakers organization to, you know, not to let this happen, not to let this whole Knicks deal go down. They better not let it happen, this and that. I mean, and I understand what you just said, too, Jimmy. He's still Magic Johnson, though. They're going to take his calls if he calls. They don't have to.
I agree.
But
how can Kobe be mad? He knew what he was dealing with Jim Buss. Like, he knew the whole – they didn't bring – that's the reason why they didn't bring Phil back before, and Jim Buss gave him $25 million a year. So you have to take the good with the bad, Kobe.
No, you know what it is, Kill? He was like, I don't want to deal with this. He was like, $25 million. He was like, I'll put up with it.
Exactly.
I'm good. But, no, you know, we spoke with Rob Parker the other day, formerly of ESPN First Take. You guys can check that out because we talked about this Phil Jackson story, warroomsportstv.com. You'll find that. But what he was saying, he thinks that this is a quote-unquote money grab for Phil Jackson. And the fact, you know, I didn't know enough about the situation when we had that talk to agree with Rob 100%. But a point that Jimmy just brought up makes me believe that there may be something to that. Because Phil doesn't even want to go to New York. They're going to pay him all of this money to run the team. And yeah, you can run a team in that capacity and not be there. You know, we've seen Michael Jordan do that in a couple of stops. Not to any success, however.
At all.
But if you're going to hire Phil, though, I think hiring Phil, first of all, because we've never seen him do this job before. We've never seen Phil in a front office position, so we don't know if he can do it. We also don't know if he, you know, we're not saying that he can't do it because, you know, Larry Bird.
We just don't know.
We just don't know. So I think hiring him initially hiring him, it's to bring a jolt to the organization because you're hiring a big name even though he's not going to be on the bench. So I'm like, if you hire Phil Jackson, you want Phil Jackson to be in the garden. You want people to be able to see Phil Jackson because even though he's there, you know, and the Knicks, they're terrible right now, and they probably still will be for the coming few years at least. But you want him to be around because this is what you're using to hype the fans up. So why hype the fans up with this big name and then you allow him to do this from Montana or wherever he is? I don't get it.
You know what? You bring up a great point. There are several franchises throughout professional sports where you look at them and you look at the balance sheet and you look at the profit and loss statement and see what they're doing with certain other business assets and cash flows, and you come to realize that their concern on the priority list, their concern with the actual product, that they're putting out there for fan consumption, that's not high on the priority list. And this is
that's
one of those moves that kind of confirms that for me with Jerry Jones, Dan Snyder, James Doolin, Donald Sterling up until maybe 2 years
ago. James Doolin, man.
Yeah.
With Donald Sterling, he did it for years. He made profit for years
really,
and put the worst product out there.
Yeah, put the worst. They don't really care. So this is a big splash, and I think that, to quote Jimmy, Juan Lemming and Peter Sheeple, those two guys representative of humanity, they're going to say, you have Phil Jackson with 11 rings. Of course, he's the greatest GM of all GMs possible to hire. Why? Because, be honest, what average fan knows what a GM really does?
Yeah,
great point.
A
Yo, that's
GM,
a great point. That's a great
really
point, Beyond. And
GM,
I just want to add to that. I just want to add to that because I kind of agree, and I said it on the video, which you can find at warroomsportstv.com, that it has to be a money grab because, I mean, Phil Jackson is going to kind of like, I'm not going to say he's going to mess his legacy up, but it has to be a money grab. I brought up on the show before that if throughout the history of basketball, there's like four guys that have over like 30% of all championships. I think it was closer to like 50% between Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach, Pat Riley, and the other one was, you know, the Spurs dude, Popovich. You add those guys together, they represent damn near 50% of every championship that ever happened
in
the history of the game.
he could only mess his legacy up by coming back to the bench, though. But because of
that's true too. They may wipe
their,
it away.
Their
that's
perception
true.
Of a GM, of what a GM does, the Knicks are going to go 0-82 next year. Phil's not going to feel the same heat. He's not going to feel the same heat as if he was actually sitting on that bench
true.
In the cushion chair.
Same thing with Jordan.
In the cushion
like
chair.
Jordan's
so
legacy.
In the
tall chair.
But Jordan has somebody bodyguarding his legacy named Phil Knight. But even beyond that, though, I agree with you also that this is a money grab on a couple levels because the Knicks are doing it for publicity. It actually already worked. It's a money grab for Phil Jackson, who's getting ready to run one of the most profitable franchises from his iPad miles and miles away. And, you know, so I
just
the
from
Wally Hustle, man.
Oh, hey, Jimmy,
no,
really,
Phil,
he probably really going to do it
game.
From a
– sending orders.
You know, Phil not in the – he's not in the technology all like that. The dude just got on Twitter, like, last year, and his first message was all jacked up. So he probably going to run it from a rotary phone. And still,
Aces Ultra Book.
Yo, my man Phil Jackson is making a money grab. The Knicks are also making a money grab. The NBA is making a money grab, and everybody
well,
getting
free
money,
agent
man.
Signed.
That's
going to
keep
it,
fans.
Free agent
that's
signed because
keep fans
of Phil.
In the house.
Yeah, who thinks free agents will sign now because Phil is there?
See, but that's my point. Like, I think even if he was just the president of basketball operations. I think there would be a chance that free agents would sign there if he was going to be there. But if you only get to talk to the dude on the phone, like how valuable is that if you're signing there just so you can get some kind of tutelage from the great Phil Jackson?
And
I don't want
to fly to New York
and
have to talk to
Google Hangouts or Skype.
Have to talk to Phil over at a Google Hangout. I want to go. I want Phil to hand me the book on, you know, one of his Zen books. You know, I want to sit in the gym with Phil and my teammates and my coaches and do my yoga and my meditation and all that kind of stuff. Like, nobody, like, I just don't get it, man. I mean, I do get it because it's the Knicks. I mean, even though he was there, they let Isaiah Thomas run their franchise for a lot of years. So I get it. But
Dev,
you can send them
Snapchat
before the game.
The Dev
you
wants to be in the actual facility and hear Phil use some of his Zen tactics and say it's not that the shot goes in, it's that you didn't miss.
But be
and
honest,
as
you
long
remember,
as you're shooting,
you remember when Jordan was in Washington, not before he decided to suit it up, when he was just an executive in Washington. And he was rarely there, but the times when he was sitting up in the owner's box, there was so much buzz in the arena. It's like
I was going to the game
you're
to
signing,
see Mike. I wasn't going to
you're paying these dudes. You're paying Phil Jackson all this money to hype up your organization, to hype up your fan base. But then the fan base, you know, they're going to realize like, yo, they using us because they got us all hype, and this dude is never even here. So
they're using us.
Because a lot of times in Washington, it was better, like, trying to scope out where Mike was sitting than watching the game that was on the floor.
They're watching Johnny.
Real talk.
It
really was, man. Real talk. Like, find Michael was way more exciting than, you know,
than
watching Hamilton
guys.
Try to
Guys like Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan, they all put their work in so they can kind of like take advantage and steal money at this point. I mean, it's like this in the corporate world. You see dudes that build a legacy, don't make the money they should, and then they get, like, later in their career and they just go sign with someone to a company as a consultant and steal money. It's basically
right.
like, yo, you owe me for everything I did already. Phil Jackson
well, Jimmy,
is getting what he's owed.
But do you guys keep hearing the fact that, you know, they've come to a deal, they'll sign it later this week, stuff like that, but he hasn't really signed the contract yet? I also heard rumors that he may just be using the Knicks as leverage to stick up the Lakers. Whether, you know,
I heard that
there
too.
On
I
the bench
that he hasn't
there
signed. I don't think Jim Buss
capacity.
Wants him. Yeah, Jim
so,
Buss.
No,
Jim
Buss, he's going to have to go through with it. It's like a restricted free agent type thing. He's trying to get the Lakers to match. And Jim Buss,
see,
like,
this is
go
the
ahead.
Problem. This is
where
the problem with Jim Buss. And people can go back and listen to the shows when Jim Buss took over, and I kept telling everybody, and everybody says, it's the Lakers, I'm saying. But Jim Buss is different because the one thing that Jerry Buss did was he, you know, in the words of Jim Collins, he put the right people on the bus. He would hire people. He didn't need the publicity. So, therefore, he would let a Jerry West run the show and stay away. He'd let a Mitch Kupchak run the show and stay away. From things I read coming out of L.A., Mitch Kupchak is basically just taking a check at this point. He doesn't even like his job anymore because he doesn't have the power to make decisions without Jim interrupting. And Jim doesn't want to bring Phil in.
When can Jeannie get her hands on the stick?
Well, Jeannie is with Phil, and that's a whole other story.
Jeannie's going to New York.
Pretty much, because her brother is out of control right now. He doesn't want anybody else to get any sort of publicity. It's a sad day for my Lakers, man. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Yo, I'm just hoping somehow that Magic gets to buy the whole team. That's what I'm praying for.
You're going to see Jeannie sitting next to Spike Lee. That's a dumb dude.
I'm like, listen, man, somebody sooner or later got to, like, you know, somebody got to rap the Jim Buss, man. Maybe Floyd or Aaron Hernandez. Like, he's in the way right now, man.
Whoa. Floyd gonna call him like, yo, meet me in the desert.
Meet me in the desert.
And bring some clothes.
Yo, Jim Buss, meet me in the desert, B.
bring your own clothes.
Yo, y'all out of control, man. Meet me in the desert. Kobe says he has a quote,
no
interest, unquote, in playing for D'Antoni next season.
We are incorporating that. Yo, meet me in the desert.
What are you talking about? Yo, Kobe has no interest in playing for D'Antoni next season, yo. You add this with the last story, it's a complete mess. But what do you think about Kobe? Because he was kind of in favor of D'Antoni when he came. I guess he had to be at that point. I mean, it was coming, so he tried to be positive about it. But
he doesn't want to play for this guy at all.
He grew up while his dad was playing overseas as a D'Antoni fan.
Mm-hmm.
He said that's part of the reason why he started wearing number 8. So we had a lot of respect from him from that capacity. But as we know, D'Antoni is not really a confrontational coach. He really doesn't get on guys, and he's kind of like willy-nilly, especially with defense and, you know, just kind of a lot of freedom. And I think Kobe realized, I'm never going to get a ring under D'Antoni. So he may never get a ring anyway, but it's really bad when you have a coach that's not really checking guys at the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
First of all, let us put this out there. This is allegedly what he said, a source.
Allegedly.
You know, yeah, a source close to the situation is saying, this is what Kobe is saying at this time. I think, you know,
which means
I think they should just go ask him, because Kobe, we talked about him recently being that honorary veteran who says what he wants to say. So I'm assuming that if they ask him, he's going to tell the truth. So we'll see what Kobe says when they actually ask.
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says, your services are no longer needed in the community.
No doubt.
Yo, it's like Kobe is like a BMW with the governor off, meaning that he doesn't know how to curb what he says anymore, so he's just going to go all out. So if they ask him, he'll be completely honest about it, right or wrong. So they probably should. But at the end of the day, like, what is D'Antoni doing for this team? I mean this is Bazemore's team at this point, right?
In his defense.
At the same time, the Raptors.
Everyone has been injured. He hasn't had a real line.
True.
They depend on Jody Meeks to get 25 a game.
Everybody could play.
But they count cats like Nick Young as a major injury. So if he's
if Nick Young is like one of your major injuries, then what were you going to do in the first place with this roster? This year, I can't really put on him. But last year, the dude had talent out of the gazoo, and the Lakers should have been better last year. I mean, you can put that on the coach, which you should give him his fair share. You can put that on the players, because even if your coach isn't preaching defense, you know, some of you guys on that team have, like, three rings. Well, some of them have two. Kobe has five. Dwight Howard has been to the finals, and he's a defensive player of the year multiple times. Sometimes you got to have the pride to go ahead and do it, you know, on your own. You know, you can't fall back on that excuse all the time. Our coach doesn't preach defense. Y'all know what it takes to win. You got to have some pride.
Dad, just like you said, if Nick Young, Xavier Henry, Wes Johnson, and Jody Meeks are a part of your core, what are you doing?
I can't really put this season on them. But last year.
What would Tom Thibodeau do with that squad? That's the question.
I don't know. I don't think Jody Meeks is capable. I don't know Tom Thibodeau. I don't know what he could do with a Jody Meeks. And he might be able to get something out of Xavier. He's athletic enough.
Jody Meeks tries on defense. He gives effort. I watch. He just can't. He can't.
Hey, yo, is it me? Like, for a second, I'll see, like, Jody Meeks is athletic, right? So, for a second, like, if I turn on a Laker game, I'm not saying it's Kobe, but I'm like, yo, was that Kobe? Oh, no, that wasn't Kobe. Like, it's
Bazemore. It's Bazemore's team, man.
Yo, I saw this is Jody Meeks. He dunked on somebody last week, but it was, like, barely. Like, the ball rattled in the
Listen, man, our lines have lit up once we start talking Lakers, by the way. We have a couple calls on the line who want to speak on this whole Lakers situation.
Let's
get them on.
We definitely got to get to NFL and all the signings
absolutely.
And trades and
absolutely.
Everything.
Absolutely. A lot of signings and stuff. But let's get these couple calls on. Let's get the Rob calling from Cali. Rob, what's up, homie?
Rob, listen, guys.
Rob is on his way to a Lakers game. So, you know, sorry to hear that, but.
In two weeks, I'm going to a Lakers game.
Okay. Yeah. All right, sorry to hear that.
I hope they
comp
tickets.
So what you think about these Lakers, man? What's going on?
Man, first of all, we need to do what the New York Knicks did a long time ago, which is overhaul the whole roster.
They're just not that dude.
Like, Jody Meeks is cool. But he's not that dude. All of them are good role players, but they're not starters. That should be honest.
No, but Rob, that's what they're doing, though. If you remember, the Lakers only have two people under contract next season, and that's Kobe Bryant and Steve Nash, and they're trying to get Steve Nash to leave. They're trying to get him to just call it a career because of his back. Nick Young has a player option for next season, so it's possible that he could be back, but it's going to be a total overhaul. You only have two dudes that will be on the roster next year. So they will be looking for 13 other cats, you know, 12 for the regular roster and then a couple more for, you know, to have on injured reserve or whatever. So you're going to see a totally different Laker team next year. And they got a lot of money to spend. So, if Buss is that incompetent, which I can't see him blowing this. The Lakers with money is way different than, say, the 76ers with money, because nobody really wants to go play in Philly right now.
I think it's two problems, and I'm hoping that it doesn't affect the Lakers, but the two things I see getting in the way is a lot of these kids now that play in the NBA, they don't care about the whole concept of history and dynasty and this, the whole thing of being a Laker. They don't even care about that. That means nothing to them. That's the one thing I see. The second thing I see is
Kobe
is kind of in a way.
You got
snow bunny.
But hold on. Here's the thing, though. Shot the Wilt. Here's the thing, though. The second problem is kind of what happened with Dwight. No one wants to play with Kobe. The people respect Kobe in the league, but they don't like him, and they know how demanding he is. And a lot of these guys just aren't built that way. They'd rather super team with somebody that's going to give them high fives and, you know, take selfies with them. They don't want someone that's going to try to push them to be the greatest player they can
go
be.
Dressed. They're going to go to the mall together and get dressed.
It's a culture thing. It is. It really is.
All right. Let Rob. Go ahead, Rob. Finish what you had to say.
It's, it's like when I saw Iverson. It's like I saw Iverson, his retirement. It almost brought tears to my eyes because it's like that. Like Kobe's the last of that era. Like everybody wants to be friends. Nobody wants
You're
to
right.
be like, okay, I'm the best. Everybody wants to be friends, and it takes away from like the
I'm the best
of basketball.
I'm the best.
I mean, come on, like Larry, and you got guys like, and I'm a Tar Heel fan. I hate to bring this dude up. Danny Green, who wants to party with the Heat after the finals. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I got you.
Basketball.
But
that's
my point. My point is, it's a cultural difference. This NBA is different than the NBA that we know and love, and it's crazy because it was that way for so long. It's from the history of the game. Everybody always wanted to beat each other, and now you have guys that they don't care about the history. They don't want to play with the Kobe Bryant. Kobe is respected in this league, but nobody wants to play with him.
Yeah,
and that's the problem.
Durant
was giving
him big praise in an article.
I bet you Durant wouldn't sign with him if he could, though. He'd be like, all right, I like you. I love you from a distance. But here's the thing. If Kobe wasn't there, and this is why he didn't want to sign Kobe back, but that's a cup check. But the thing is, if Kobe wasn't there and the Lakers had all this money and all this space, I think they could rebuild because of what you just said, Dev, the quality of life in terms of living in L.A., you know what I'm saying, smoking that good and all that. Like, they would be able to build the team back up very fast. But I think Kobe's going to kind of, like, it's going to backfire on them to, you know, pay them the money they did. That's my personal opinion. This is coming from a Lakers fan. I don't want this to be true, but this is what I see.
The reason why they paid Kobe that money is because Kobe was going to leave. Because Kobe's not stupid. Kobe wants to win another ring with Jordan. Kobe's competitive.
Where was he going to go?
I understand
like,
that,
nobody
but sometimes he
going to
go.
He could go any team he wants.
Rob,
nobody's
going to
give him $25 million.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Rob, nobody's
going to
give him
$25 million. So what?
Yeah.
If he did leave, so what? My thing is this. Sometimes you have to do what's best for the team. Was it best for the team to pay him to sit around and rehab on your dime?
It's not best for the team, but it's best
him,
for the organization because they realize how much revenue he drives in Southern California. I don't think it's best for the team basketball wise, but it's definitely
basketball wise. It makes no sense, Rob. He can go sign with anybody. Let him go play with the Spurs and win a championship. That's cool. But he has to worry about that name on the front, not the back.
Trash.
I think I would have had to at least wait to see how he was going to look after that Achilles injury.
I think you set the organization back.
Or leave it.
But just like you said, you know, people still getting tickets because they still got that hope that they're gonna see their hero.
But Rob, are you talking about the business or are you talking about basketball? Which one are you talking about?
And the reason why they kept him is because of the business, because you don't
really
know.
Yeah, but as a fan, do I care about their business? I'm trying to win chips.
As a fan, I want to see my team win. So if that meant trading him or whatever.
Listen, man, we got to move on, Rob. But thanks for the call. And make sure you check back with, especially when you go to that game, and let us know how bored you were and whether you got a Bazemore jersey yet.
I'm a Laker fan before Kobe. I'm a Laker fan after Kobe. And by the way, B.R. said Trent Dilfer was better than McNabb.
Okay, it's
a drug, brother.
All right, Rob, take it easy, homie. All right, Rob, easy. We got another call, another Lakers fan on the line. We got John Sanders. John, what's going on, homie?
What's up, brothers? How everybody doing tonight?
What's up, man? How are you?
Everybody listening?
Oh, living. Got a few questions for y'all.
Uh-huh.
Number one, is Jack Nicholson even attending the games anymore?
He comes to the national TV, John. He still need to be seen just in case he decides to do a movie or something. He still needs some fans out there.
He was at that 50-point blowout.
I know.
If you catch him on camera, though,
he tried to play in that
show. Socializing more than he used to because the game means
absolutely nothing
at this point.
And this is what I'm getting ready to say is not even a joke. It's true. Jack Nicholson is also suffering right now with, like, early onset Alzheimer's. So he has other reasons. I'm not saying that's why he doesn't go. He may have got that from watching the team the last couple of years, but
no, Jim,
that's true.
That might actually be why he goes still. Like,
all right. Now this pertains to the Lakers. I understand why Kobe went off today and for the last couple of days and Magic and everybody. My thoughts was, what? First of all, what's that boy's name? Jimmy Buss or the son?
Yeah, Jimmy
Buss. Can they get rid of him?
They're trading coaches.
Is Jimmy still there?
Maybe you could trade owners.
Yeah.
Is Jenny still a part of operations, or she cut out?
She got a title.
Had some say.
She got a title.
Jim gets the last word. Like, she's part of some of the operations, but Jim has the last word no matter what.
Okay, now she can already marry Phil Jackson, am I correct?
Well, she has been for the past decade, but yeah.
If he goes to New York and he builds New York up, and New York, and he becomes the, if he does the Pat Riley route, because obviously he can't coach no more because his legs, but if you move around, but if he does a Ralph, what's his name, Pat Riley route and build New York up to a team that could contend for the title, and then you got the Lakers, per se, building their team up next year or two with a team that can contend for the title. Who does she root for?
She's going to root for Phil. She's going to root for Phil.
You think she root for Phil?
Yo.
Yeah, absolutely.
She's still getting. She's still getting.
That honestly, what I would do if
she's
I was
still getting that Laker money.
If I build the Knicks up to a successful contender, not a championship team, because only New Yorkers believe that they'll win a chip in the next 20 years, but a contender, right? I would go back to Jim and say, I'll be willing to coach this Lakers squad for $1 million a week. If you pay me $1 million a week,
So B. Austin, basically what you're saying, if you can make the Knicks into real contenders, then you deserve that kind of favor, huh?
$1.2 million a week.
Dude, being a Lakers fan for all these years, it's just sad what they have become. Dwight Howard rolled out. Now you know why, because he knew there was nothing else there. Kobe, people pointing fingers at Kobe, but I'm going to tell you something. Kobe's worth the money, because Kobe, when he gets back on that court next year, you only need three other pieces.
I agree.
Kobe taking 25 instead of 12, if he took 12, they could have signed another player for 13, because they're going to need that 13
Bird deal. He gets the Larry Bird deal. His money.
It cuts into the cap. It does by 12 million.
No, it does.
So that's
it definitely does by 12 million. But listen, John, the thing about it is, like, we understand that Kobe is a Laker, one of the greatest Lakers to ever play basketball. But at some point, you're going to have to make that decision to, like, move forward. I mean,
because that's what Duncan
even if
did.
Kobe,
Duncan took 12 and Garnett and Pierce. They took
Jimmy,
like 11 and 12 to make their team better.
2016.
I mean, you're just prolonging it. And now with the way that things go, Kobe going to rehab and get this money. Kobe gets paid to work out at this point.
So this offseason, do you think they're going to go for LeBron? Because that's where everyone's betting on.
I mean, they're going to go far.
Here's the thing. Will LeBron play with Kobe? Will LeBron come here while Kobe's here?
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
LeBron ain't got no pride, Jimmy. Come on, man.
He doesn't have pride, but let me ask you this question. Would the Lakers have had a better chance of getting LeBron with a bunch of cap space with no Kobe Bryant or with limited cap space with Kobe Bryant?
I think he would rather dictate who he takes with him, like Melo. Let's go.
But that's exactly my point, Dad. If Kobe wasn't here, we'd have let Kobe go. We would have probably got LeBron and Melo.
He still ain't got no pride.
But so this is what I'm trying to get to. You got LeBron, who's available, and then Carmelo Anthony. He might be free if the Knicks decide to part ways. Can you imagine them two with Kobe?
The thing is,
they don't like Kobe. This is what I'm trying to tell you, John. I heard from people that they don't like Kobe. They don't want to play with Kobe. Dwight never wanted to come to L.A. They forced the trade anyway, and he basically was like, I told you, I don't want to play with Kobe. He never wanted to play with Kobe. These young guys do not like Kobe Bryant. As much as we love Kobe, respect his game, respect what he's done for the Lakers, these young guys don't like him. They don't want to play with him.
He
Paul Gasol doesn't want to play with him, to be honest with you.
He's serious.
You know what? That is one point. That is one point. I think I have to concede to Jimmy.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. It's a bad thing.
Jimmy's saying it differently.
And look at
today's
society and this generation. No, I don't think they dislike him. They respect Kobe. They want
That's
his
what
success.
I said. They respect him.
They
respect
want his
him
game.
Much.
They want pieces of his game. But him as a human being, him as a man, you're dealing with a man that's going to come in the locker room. He's not going to defer. He's not impressed with you. He doesn't care that you're LeBron. He doesn't care. He's going to say, yo, listen, come here, young boy. This is what we're going to Young boy, yo, I'm LeBron James. Yo, I don't care because you beat me one-on-one.
Did you see how he
– And LeBron's going to know he can't, so he beat me.
They don't do that.
Be in their pop, so they don't have a pecking order type thing. So they're not I think I agree with Jimmy on that.
Let's go back 20 years real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a guy that everyone said the same thing before, not publicly now, but under the table, some of these players did not want to work with this guy. And it came evident when he became a Wizard for 2 years. And you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, but you
gotta play with. He demands affection, right or wrong.
Because it's not like
But hold on, though. Hold on, John. Hold on, though. Nobody really signed to go play with Mike either.
They built their team through the draft.
Nobody signed to go play with Mike.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because Catherine
was
like,
right?
Like
Ryan
his ass.
He's slapping Steve Kerr around in practice like that.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted that kind
Yo,
of
thing. Yo, he used to make Scotty cry. He said,
hey,
Scotty, you got to
play with him. These type of players who are centric. Right, who are geniuses that no one gets along with,
yes.
No one really likes,
yes.
No one cares for. It's
yes.
A proven fact. The reason why I like that is because they have this what's the word? They're what we call, I guess you could say, geniuses.
John, you're definitely on to something. Kobe, weirdo. MJ, weirdo. Allen Iverson to a degree, weirdo. Magic Johnson, all the smiles and all the kissing of Isaiah towards the end.
Weirdo.
Book, Jimmy, weirdo. These cats that are obsessed
to throw that
with
in
winning,
there.
They're obsessed. They're obsessed with being great. They're obsessed with winning. They're
Thank
not
you.
Obsessed with rubbing each other's butt and going shopping and
no.
and the limelight and building their brand.
No.
See, these cats, a lot of these cats from this generation, basketball is on the priority list, but it's not number one, two, or three. Making money is number one, and their staying
right,
power
man.
And their personal brand.
It's deeper than that, man. Kobe had a pop at home. So did Mike, and so did Magic. A lot of these dudes ain't had no dad at home, so they don't know how to take criticism. I'm not even getting to all that. Listen, though. In our chat room, though, a couple things. Shout out to Jetty Mark for checking in. He said Jeannie is actually the team president over there. We don't know what she does, but that's her title.
Obviously,
it's not enough for Phil to be going to New York.
Your husband is working for New York.
Hey, Dr. Butch's wish was for Jeannie to run the business operations and for Jim to run the basketball operations. That was Dr.
Yeah, he's running it into the ground, though. Now, Scott Kevin says LeBron wouldn't play with Kobe for the same reason he wouldn't enter the dunk contest. So, I mean, you're dealing with a different breed of athlete.
But before I go, I just want to tell y'all one thing. And think about this for a moment, because I'm sure you guys talked about this. Last year, someone interviewed Scottie Pippen, and they asked Scottie Pippen who the best player was, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know if you remember this, but he has mentioned that
LeBron
Jordan was the best to ever play the game.
Yeah,
or
LeBron,
that he's
LeBron
ever
Jordan.
Seen. Was he taking a James, I'm sorry. Was he taking a shot? Now, sorry about that. I'm sorry because I'm at work.
No,
was he taking a shot at Michael, or was he really, or was he just being honest? Or was it
no,
a
he was making himself look good.
There was a rumor that they didn't get along. There was
a
rumor.
This could be
stuff look good.
Remember, Dennis Rodman said he never talked to Michael.
And he was making himself look good because they compare LeBron to Scottie more than they compare LeBron to Mike.
Well, not
because they know LeBron
not only
is
that,
a little bit timid.
If you bring Mike down a little bit, it gives him a lot more of the credit for winning what they did win. It's like,
right.
I was just as much to do with it as Mike. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so on that type set. So he was making himself look good.
But let's also remember Dennis trying to get some respect. For himself.
Remember, Dennis Rodman also came out and said publicly he never had a relationship with Michael Jordan. And let's also not forget,
I mean,
Scottie,
do you want a relationship with Dennis Rodman?
I was about to say, like, in Mike's defense on that one, like, I'm not going out publicly with Dennis Rodman, so I don't even want to address that one.
But John, your point, you're proving our point by saying this, John. Nobody wants to play with Kobe. They made a mistake. I'm telling you. They made a mistake. I'll put it on the record. I'll say they made a mistake because nobody wants to play with Kobe. It's sort of like what worked in the past doesn't work. There's a paradigm shift in terms of the player that's in the league now,
right,
how you run a team
right
now, and how you build a
right
team now. It's completely changed. I mean, you see what happened
Kobe
in Miami. They've
been
in the finals for three straight years.
Kobe's always been known as difficult to work with. Remember when he was a kid, when he was 17, 18, whatever, he got in the league. Remember some of the players thought he was obnoxious. They thought he was very uppity.
Absolutely.
Because he never.
He was about
never
that work. He wasn't trying to be.
Because he's a weirdo. But this is what I'm saying. But this is why now nobody will want to play with him. We're going to have Bazemores. We're going to have a bunch of Bazemores.
He didn't
and,
even talk to his parents for like 5 years. I mean, that should show you something right there. He had to.
Yo, if you cannot talk to your parents for years, you know what a woman is.
He was focused. Yeah. All right, man. We got
right.
Anyway, thanks for the call, though, John. We appreciate it.
Dude,
we appreciate the call.
You guys get to the NFL. I love to talk to you.
All right.
You already know. All right, take it easy.
All right, baby.
Just last thing before we move on to the NFL. Jetty Mara says that she handles the Lakers' business at the Board of Governors meetings and has her stake in a team like all his kids do. So, Kill, like you said, she runs the business side. Nothing at all to do with basketball. She's completely corporate. So that's what she does. But
I mean, she's winning because
yeah,
they always going to make money.
They always going to make money. Yeah, so she looking good right now. She don't care what they do. You know what I'm saying? She's going to get her paper. Last
Yo,
thing in basketball,
of
I just want to say.
She don't look too bad in a two-piece either.
Last thing I want to say about basketball is Dirk Nowitzki. He passed John Havlicek for 12th on the NBA scoring list.
Dirk has passed five people this season.
Yeah, it's weird to me because as great as a player as Dirk has been, and, you know, he had that one season where he started, like, you know, probably because he was dating that black woman. He started playing with some heart. They won a championship. I never think about Dirk when I think about the all-time great players. I don't know whether it's just me or, like, is he going to be for one of those guys that will be forgotten as time goes on? What do you guys think?
I don't think so because he'll go down as the one team that probably beat the Heat in the finals in this current iteration of the Heat. So that'll help him.
Yeah,
no,
but
I
mean,
I
the grand scheme of things, I think he'll be forgot. I think.
I think already, like, because, you know, the what have we done lately, whatever that is, society that we live in, I think a lot of people have already forgotten how nice Dirk really was when he was in his
prime. I agree.
Know,
that's
in
why
his prime,
I said along in the grand scheme of things, I agree he will be forgotten. He's already forgotten.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's a good question because sometimes because he's always going to have that moniker of being, you know, when you just talk about European players, like he's the one that came over and really did his thing, cemented himself as a Hall of Famer. But then at the same time, you know, people, they just easily, they quickly forget about you. So,
you're
not doing what is necessary to build your brand in a manner that's loud, that's engaging, that pulls folks in, or you're not attached to a machine that does that, then you fade off into obscurity.
No, real quick, I think what Dirk has going for him, you know, they say, oh, you can't do it by yourself. You have to have another Hall of Fame. Like Dirk, that I always go back to Dirk in my arguments. I said, Dirk did it.
Yeah, that's your arguments. I think in the grand scheme of things, he'll be forgotten. There are teams that won championships. The 77 Blazers won a championship, and the only person
Jimmy
people know is Bill Walton, who wasn't
the Pistons.
Even at the Pistons.
I think he'll, because Jimmy is basically talking about Juan Lemming, so – you know, Juan Leonard.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Juans and Peters. When you look at the basketball kill, it's like, yo, you had the Jordan era, you had the Magic and Bird era, the Jordan era, Kobe, Shaq. I think Tim Duncan will be forgotten.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Tim Duncan will be forgotten. In the grand scheme of things, Dirk is going to fade off into obscurity, and he's definitely one of the best players
that
we've seen.
Chauncey Billups will be forgotten too then.
Chauncey Billups was forgotten the day after they won the championship. It's by everybody in the Austin.
I already forgot about Chauncey.
shout out.
Look, man, we'll
ponder that,
man. Actually, I'm on my way down to Dallas in 2 days. Me and Kill are going to go down to American Airlines Arena for Monday's game against – they're playing the Celtics, right, Kill?
The Celtics, yes, sir.
Yeah, so we're going to check that out. Be down there early, see if we can get a statement from Dirk where he think
Dirk made the move to Africa. He ain't messing with y'all, man.
Yeah, so we're going
to – Anyway, man –
try to get some interviews and see if we can get anybody to speak on that topic. But this time we got to talk about this NFL free agent frenzy. Y'all know how it goes every year. 4 p.m. the other day, everybody it just went crazy. Everybody hit the phones. People were getting released. People were getting signed. So before we get into all of that, NFL Wrap, of course, is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones, if you're still rocking with those. The latest episode is always available for you, no syncing needed, no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo of on our website and listen, or you can download it straight to your mobile phone directly from that page. Before you do, make sure you enter the promo code The War Room, all one word, for a chance to win a cash prize. You know, we don't really know of anybody who doesn't like to win cash prize. You might need cash. I mean, I don't really need that much cash, but, you know, you might need some cash. Might be in a situation. Stitcher, Smart Radio, the best way, the smartest way to listen to radio. All right, fellas, some big moves have been made. Some small moves have been made. We're gonna focus on the major ones because nobody wants to hear about, you know, my cousin going to, you know, another team for $300,000. So
can we talk about
before we do
talk about
that,
Reggie McKenzie with the Raiders and what he's not doing? Shot the Sky UK.
We don't want to do all that stuff. So before we get into who moved where and what you guys think about it, we got to first, of course, give a shout-out, a rest-in-peace shout-out to William Clay Ford Sr., the owner of the Detroit Lions, who died this week. He's been the owner of – actually, he's the last surviving grandson of Henry Ford, you know, the pioneer of Ford Motor Company, and he's owned the Lions since 1964. So rest in peace to him. I mean, the Detroit Lions aren't that – organization, they aren't that franchise where we can talk too much about legacy and history and all that kind of stuff, but hey, he originally paid like $4.5 million for the Lions back in 63, and now they are valued at about $900 million. So we can at least say financially he definitely was winning. The team, we can't say much about him, but rest in peace to William Clay Ford Sr. He was 88 years old. He had a great run. One last thing before we get into the free agency. You guys know one of your favorite players, Rashard Mendenhall, who we affectionately call Rashard Mendenhump. And if you don't know why, just look up Rashard Mendenhall humps Ben Roethlisberger and you'll find out what we mean. He's decided at the age 26 to call it quits, and he's citing reasons. He's tired of, quote-unquote, the football life. He said he kind of didn't want to just hear. He didn't even want this story to be a big deal. But, of course, you know, once sports media got wind of it, it became a little bit of a big deal, at least until free agency started. He basically said, imagine having a job where you're always on duty and can never fully relax or you just may drown, having to fight through waves and currents of praise and criticism, but mostly hate. I can't even count how many times I've been called a dumb N-word. So he's tired of the football life. No privacy. We know how he got attacked online a few years ago because he voiced his opinion about how everybody was celebrating the death of Osama bin Laden. You know, he didn't say he had any kind of ties to bin Laden or, you know, he didn't even say he liked the man, but he was just questioning how people could celebrate so openly about somebody's death, and, man, he got hammered. So what do you guys think of him being tired of the football life and calling it quits?
It's interesting. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm not mad at it. I mean,
He's making a decision in his mind. He knows what he can and can't take. He's made a little bit of money. It's time for him to move on. You know, everybody doesn't have to play 12 years or 15 years, you know, and those that do, look at, you know, I always use Junior Seau as my case study for guys who can't walk away from the game because they've let the game consume them and there's nothing else. You know, one thing that I've read about Rashad Mendenhall is that he has interests even in the arts away from the game, you know, so he'll have a long and productive life, hopefully. So shout out to him.
Yeah, for me, it's interesting to hear this story when I heard it because on my quest for international greatness and worldwide domination, I made a decision to, you know, start reading a lot of books. So one of them is Nate Jackson's book called Slow Getting Up. That's a dude that played for the Broncos, and he wasn't really that good at all. But he gives his story. And when you hear about the quote-unquote NFL life, you will wonder why anybody would want to put themselves or subject themselves to that. I mean, of course, they're highly compensated, but when you look at, you know, their peers in other sports, they really aren't that highly compensated. And even the guys that are highly compensated, there's only a few of those, the quarterbacks, some skill position players. But the average player, or even a player of a Mendenhall stature, doesn't make as much as they give, what they give to the game. I mean,
right.
You know, they give their bodies, and what they get in return really isn't worth it. So for someone who does have other interests, it doesn't shock me. I want to see how football is going to combat this because you have a lot of people start to make decisions like this the more and more they get educated. And now with all the information that's out there, I don't know why anybody would want to play football. I really don't. So shout out for Mendenhall for not falling for the peer pressure and making a decision himself to walk away.
Six years of professional hits at a position that takes the most hits, you know, outside of offensive and defensive line. You know, an NFL running back is basically, you know, battering ram. Like, he takes all of the punishment. So, you know, I'm not mad at him.
DD Bust. But, yeah, it's like I'm not mad either. I just want to know long-term what football is going to do, you know, and, of course, it's a huge moneymaker. And I guess as long as people are walking through this country poor, which will be forever, there's going to be somebody to suit up and play the game. So, you know.
I just hope he manages money wisely because 26 to 86 or 76, that's a long time to live. So hopefully
Kill, maybe you can answer this question. We have a question in our chat room maybe you can help us with from Skyview. Kevin wants to know, how long do you have to play in the NFL to be vested?
Oh, to get a pension. I've heard – man, 5 and 7 are running through my brain. I'll look it up. I want to say 5 years, but then again, it might be 7 years. And then I always get it mixed up with the NBA pension.
They can't expect it to be long. They really can't, especially in the NFL.
No, I think
Mendenhall played
3 years.
How many years has Mendenhall in the league?
He played six.
He played six years. 6 years. So I think he.
So it's probably 5. He probably tried to get his pension first before he bounced.
I've heard that much.
I forgot what it was.
This is a sentiment that I've heard as well. They're saying, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, they think if he was getting offered more money than, you know, like the veterans minimum, then he wouldn't be calling it quits like that. But I don't know, man. I still think, like, what would he be making in that capacity? Like $600,000 plus? Like, that's still a lot of money. You know, people just look at what the top guys make. You know, that's still a lot of money.
And that's what they all do.
He signed a 5-year, $13 million deal with the Steelers. 5 years, $12.5 million.
Mendenhall is the type of guy that gets that type of deal, Kill. I mean, he's not a league minimum type guy, but I guess the question becomes, if you sign a $13 million deal, 5 years, an NFL franchise isn't going to let you rock out that whole 5 years, I would say six
it's actually
times
4 years.
Out of 10.
You know what? I just looked it up. It's 4 years, and then they get an annuity. So they said
a 10-year
veteran.
Somebody in our chat
answered
it as well, Jenny.
Okay. A 10-year veteran who retired in 98 will receive $51,000 a year, according to the collective bargaining agreement.
You said a 10-year veteran.
Mendenhall is going to average a little – a little over $4 million, $3 million a season, which we know is probably backloaded. So you can get away with paying him a salary of probably $1.5 to $1.8 million, backloading that, and only paying him through the first 3 years of that contract. So he might see $5 million off of that contract. Taxes.
He already had?
No, talking about his current deal, just kind of breaking down that particular deal for a player of his stature and caliber. He got a five-year, $13 million deal. So he's probably going to see
That's what he already got. He got that when he played for the Steelers. He already had that.
Right.
Yeah.
So whatever he signed with the Cardinals, you know, is just it was like a 1 year deal.
Yeah, right. But I mean, at the end of the day, though, like the story talks about the NFL life, but I definitely question it, especially when you hear about the day in and day out of what they have to do. It's not really we see them on Sundays and we know they practice on the course of the week, but it's literally a 24/7 profession. Everything from what they eat to who they sleep with, like it's a lifestyle.
I mean, the dude definitely said, you know, he wants to be able to enjoy the rest of his life with no problems, with those potential problems that playing in the NFL for a long time can bring. So yeah, I'm not mad at him. It's his life. You know, do what you got to do. It's not like he's a superstar or anything like that. And you know, it was surprising when Barry Sanders cut his career short. You know, he's not in that same situation, and Barry still went 9-10 strong. So, you know, shout out to him. You know, he seemed
Barry
like
probably got to handle a couple of the reports they was hiding. Barry got to handle a couple of the reports they was hiding from everybody. It was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm out.
And it seems like
Barry Sanders facts like I'm done.
Seems like he's an intelligent enough dude to, you know, be able to make a living for the rest of his life. So we'll see how that goes, even though the whole country hates him because they perceive it as him sticking up for Osama bin Laden. So it might not work out for him in the end. But shout out to Rashard Mendenhump. It's been nice. Now let's get into some of these moves in free agency. Let's start with the 49ers. The 49ers were kind of busy. Yesterday, of course, they acquired Jonathan Martin in a trade. I'm kind of wondering how their locker room feels about that, because
they're
in San Francisco. It makes sense for him to go to San Francisco.
Well, he's back in, you know, where he's familiar, because he did go to Stanford. He did play for Harbaugh. So just wondering how the players feel, because they, as we saw throughout the whole situation with he and Incognito, the players really didn't take too kindly of him, one, quitting, two, telling everything that goes on in the locker room and the culture and all that. So we'll see how they welcome him. We know everybody's going to say the right thing. The Niners also acquired quarterback Blaine Gabbert in a trade. So that's obvious he's gone there to back up Kaepernick. But then they signed safety Antoine Bethea. Shout out to Howard University, my alma mater. Our alma mater. He signed with the Niners for, I believe it was like 4 years, $23 million. I think that's a pretty solid pickup. He's been a pretty good NFL player throughout his stint in Indianapolis. So, you know, how do you guys think the Niners did, you know, thus far, or how they've done thus far in free agency and in the trade frenzy?
They've addressed. I think they upgraded at the safety position because, to be honest, to me, I know Dante Whitner had a better year in coverage last year and didn't make as many mistakes. But historically, he's not a guy you want far away from the line of scrimmage, despite the fact he's a defensive back. And I think Bethea does a better job in coverage against tight ends, running backs, even slot guys, or running deep, you know, deep thirds. So I think that's an upgrade for them. Jonathan Martin, I think, you know, is more for the public outreach. You know, the city they play in is, you know, about certain things. So I think that serves as a good move for them. I don't know. They did our Blaine Gabbert. I don't know what value Blaine Gabbert adds other than being, you know, having starting experience. He was a pretty good woman at quarterback. He liked to duck and get out of there when the pressure.
I mean, I guess he can be a good backup cool. short term if Kaepernick ever got injured or anything.
Right.
So, you know, the 49ers were a little bit busy. The Broncos, Jimmy Squad, the Broncos seem to be putting together Dream Team 2014. The only difference between them and Dream Team Philadelphia back in 2010 is that, you know, Philly stunk before they did all of that. You know, the Broncos are coming off of a Super Bowl appearance where they were the favorites to win the Super Bowl. So, in my eyes, you know, if you look at it from that perspective, you know, I think they're doing really good because they're going for it, for one. They know that their star quarterback doesn't have that many years left. They know how close they were last year. They know they were supposed to win it last year. The Broncos are going for it. Of course, they signed DeMarcus Ware after he was surprisingly released by the Cowboys, because when have we known the Cowboys to be fiscally responsible? So it seems like the Cowboys are actually trying to do things to, you know, control that cap number a little bit more. They're not so worried about having the big names on their team. They're trying to shed some dollars. So I was kind of surprised that they released him. But the Broncos picked up DeMarcus Ware for their defensive line or outside linebacker, because they do run a 3-4. Am I correct, Jim?
Yeah, but here's the thing about, like, the Broncos making moves. Well, for one, the DeMarcus Ware thing
was
really funny to me.
The other ones were Aqib Talib, Talib Kweli.
Yeah, and T.J. Ward.
T.J. Ward. So
Talib Kweli and T.J. Ward. Now, the thing is this.
Yeah, he's taking over for your man.
And he got a big deal.
Champ Bailey, who just left.
But
go ahead, Jim. What's the thing?
What I was saying is that the thing about it is what I found hilarious about the DeMarcus Ware thing. It really wasn't funny, but, like, he showed up to work out with the Cowboys. My man had a Cowboys hat on, shirt, pants, and they told him, like, yo, you no longer need it, B. FOH. But the thing is, it's like, it's hard for me to even get excited about this because of how last season ended.
And B. Austin
like, criticized me all year because I kept saying nothing matters but the bowl. Yo, I can't even repeat that, yo, because, yo, nothing really matters but the bowl, but it's even worse now. I don't even want to talk football, yo. This is hard for me to talk football right now.
It's worse because you actually got to the bowl. You got to win.
Yeah, you got to the bowl. You got smacked around. You got treated like a healer. And now, like, you're winning in free agency. But I've seen a lot of teams winning free agency, which didn't translate to the field.
And then Harris didn't do anything in the Super Bowl and went and got paid.
Yeah, that's why I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt, because they're adding strong pieces to a team that was already supposed to, you know, a team that basically dominated the league up until the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of give them the benefit of the doubt.
And
I think
a few years ago,
like when the Eagles did it, and, you know, when teams like Dallas and Washington always did it, they weren't that good while they were doing it. So it's like
people
kind of looked at it like you're trying to get these guys to be the savior, but they're adding these guys to a team that's good without them. So I think.
Overpaid for Ware. I think they overpaid. I don't think he has anything left in the tank. Being a Cowboys fan and watching him this year, like, he couldn't get off the ball at all.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
I agree with you
that they overpaid.
I think they
overpaid. They might as well
kept
Decker.
They're in finish right now mode. So my question would be, even if Ware has fallen off a little bit, I think he and the gentleman from the Smith Miller gang are going to benefit from one another being on the field together. I think DeMarcus Ware can get himself in good enough shape to where he can give you, you know, 10, maybe 10
and plus,
sacks.
And plus,
next season.
Let's be honest, Kill. No disrespect, but he knows coming in that he has an opportunity to win a championship. He knows
he's
playing for, like, you know, and he's playing with Peyton Manning, he's playing with Talib Kweli, you know what I'm saying? He's playing with TJ. Like, he's playing with a team that has a chance to do something special. So I think that he'll be motivated.
Yo.
And I'm not saying he wasn't motivated playing for the Cowboys, but
you
addressed
the Broncos
at all three levels of their defense. Like, they got a stud at all three levels of their defense.
Yes.
So I think the fact that they were that good without even needing these guys that's why I look at this different than. But we'll see. You know, things could fall apart.
Talib,
you know what I'm saying? Like
Talib Kweli. Talib Kweli is underrated
Kweli.
as a corner. He's underrated as a lyricist. He's underrated in the music business.
Just
so,
as a murder game layer.
I'm impressed with that pickup. The only problem with him that you'll face, Jimmy, is dude is so physical, and the way he plays, he's never played a full 16 games. So he gets injured, but then Champ was injured at most of the season.
Yeah,
too.
I
but
mean, I ain't saying that. Champ's game has been injured
him,
for 3 years.
Can you get Talib Kweli to play all 14 of 16 games at that high level? They gave him the same deal they offered DRC. DRC, for whatever reason, thought he was worth more and walked away from it. They also offered that deal to Revis. Revis was like, yo, I only signed for $12 million a year right now. I don't sign for no less than that. So, no, real talk. That's what he's telling you. He was like, yo, I only signed for 12 mil, and it can't just be 12 mil this year unless it's a one-year deal. Like, he wants 12 million every year for the next 3 years.
Revis said
like,
he got
to
feed his family,
year two
man.
Is worth 20. Year two is worth 20
yo,
for Revis.
Yeah, he's out of control. So TJ.
Oh,
Moore,
they gave him a second year deal. I thought it was a
one-year deal.
$12 million.
If he's on the roster, year two, he gets 20 million.
He ain't gonna be on that roster
like that, Mike.
It does include a $20 million option. So
option.
He ain't gonna
damn.
Patriots don't pay that kind of money.
You already know that. That's just BS.
70 interceptions. He ain't getting that.
Oh, by the way, real quick, I just want to say
the
something to our chat.
Patriots will cut him and then sign him back for another 12.
I know.
Yeah, Scott, you Kevin, man, and I know you're a Raiders fan, and you're, you know, giving my team a compliment, but you're bugging right now. He said he equates the Cowboys trading Ware like the Eagles getting rid of Reggie White. Like, yeah, they released it. They didn't trade. They won him a trade, but
no.
Scott, you Kevin, you're bugging with that one, yo. You just mentioned Reggie White, yo, and where
in the same
sentence? That's disrespectful, yo.
Yeah,
that's disrespectful.
No,
it's nowhere near
Phil,
the same thing.
That $20 million option, that's just called incentive to ball out in this 1 year that we're gonna have. You.
Yeah, that's not
the Patriots will never, ever pay anybody that kind
yo,
of money.
Yo, it's funny.
All right, but listen,
it's funny that a
we
deal even picked up on that because no one's even reporting that second year.
That actually came down today, though. Like, yesterday,
okay.
You know, that I don't think that really existed. Because I think they just had an agreement in principle when everybody talked
right.
about it. And they agreed, you know, they kind of reported what the agreement in principle was. I think they, you know, kept at it. But let me, some notable releases that haven't been signed yet before we get to some more players. Julius Peppers was released from the Bears, you know. Contract issues. Steve Smith was released from the Panthers. And, you know, Steve
Damn.
Smith is not just going to be released without, you know, some words. He said, I want to make sure that whatever team I go to, they're going to get the best in-shape 35-year-old guy they can get. And if that happens to run through Bank of America Stadium, where the Panthers play, put your goggles on because there's going to be blood and guts everywhere. He'll probably go there. He'll probably go there
I
and get, like, three catches for 12 yards and four drops. But
yo,
I like the way he talks.
Bodies, because he's going to rumble somebody, yo. He can replace
he definitely
Decker. Let's
fight.
Put him on our squad.
Yeah. Especially if he's not getting off on the field, he's definitely going to punch somebody in the
they
face.
They already
so
know he's a body.
They're
going
to test
him. They're going to stay out of his way.
Yeah, it definitely will be worth it.
You can't be mad at a dude that does what you think.
Yeah. But
yo, but that, look how old he is. That's why he's talking like that.
And I heard a part of them getting rid of him was they wanted the culture change in the locker room. Like, they understood he's fiery.
Yeah, they
he's
said he's a
still productive.
Like,
but
they,
he was just
they
too hard on everybody.
They said he's a distraction. They really
it's like we just talked about in basketball. They don't want nobody to try to push these jokers, man. They need some people to
and
come over there and slap files and take Instagram photos with them.
35 years old, he's a distraction. You going around, come on, man. They probably went to the man
yo,
and like, yo, man, this dude out here trying to make me play harder, man. Can y'all get rid of him? Damn.
Yo,
he trying to play
there,
harder?
Yo, my man Steve Smith is in the locker room bullying the linemen. Making the linemen carry his pads.
He
loves football. When he was when yeah. the, what when was it? When he was injured
When he was injured, didn't he play in a flag football league? Like, dude,
yeah, he's crazy.
He's
crazy.
Yeah,
but let's go. Let's move over to Philadelphia.
Too.
Let's move over to Philadelphia real quick, where the Eagles, they upgraded at the safety position by signing Malcolm Jenkins. A lot of fans aren't really satisfied.
Yeah.
You're saying, but we're talking about the Eagles here. Like, they could have signed you, and it would have been an upgrade over Patrick Chung. So they cut Chung.
That's true.
Got Malcolm Jenkins. They weren't able to acquire one of the big names, T.J. Ward, Darius Byrd.
I don't think they ever went after.
They got Malcolm Jenkins. Of course, his whole scouting report is because he originated as a cornerback, he has some problems in the tackling department. That's not great for a defense that already has tackling problems, but they say he's a film rat. You know, he was voted. He was elected captain of the Saints the past 2 years. So, you know, it might be in addition to whatever he brings on the field. It might be a leadership move. Like, who knows? But people are still waiting for that breakout season from him because he's very, very talented but hasn't been what he's supposed to be. And then an offensive move, the Eagles acquired Darren Sproles through trade. Now, this was interesting because Darren Sproles was under the impression he was supposedly told by the Saints organization that they were going to release him, which was true. But before they released him, the Saints started getting calls of people interested in Darren Sproles. So they decided, we're not going to release you. We're going to trade you. Darren Sproles was angry. His wife was even angrier because she took to Twitter, like Ben Wallace's wife. But she was taking to Twitter talking about how they broke their promise and he wants to be able to decide where he plays. She said that God will punish the Saints. What do you guys think about that? God will punish the Saints. Because
I'll be very brief with this. I just want to say that these people who still think that there's any loyalty in this business called football, yo, this is a business. I mean, if I'm a football player, I just look back and say, yo, Joe Montana got sent away. If Joe Montana can get sent away, anybody can get sent away. This is a business. What is wrong?
I mean,
with
but he just wanted to leave. He wanted to be, you know, free agent.
I understand that, but you still believe what they tell you? Like they promised me this.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
True.
Truthfully, I think him being traded,
he's going to make more money this season than he would have in any free agent deal. In my opinion, he's
Raiders let Marcus Allen go to a rival. Like that's how much they didn't care. Like FOH, you done.
Yo, Dev, you just brought out one of the key points. And so when I saw this story break on social media, you know, I had some advice for the young lady who made her comeuppance by marrying a professional athlete because I think she's a professional thirst trapper. But my thought was, you know, listen, keep your significant others, your wife, your wisdoms, your whizzes, you know, keep them off of social media because what she said, just based on what you just said about the trade scenario, yo, it doesn't make sense. He's going to make more money via the trade scenario.
I mean,
scenario.
They are sick. They wanted
to control,
decide. But
controlling destiny. They wanted autonomy, and then she called down the curse of Compton and God, you know, God's wrath upon who that nation.
Definitely drunk.
Yeah, she...
And you know what, B. Austin? I look at where he actually ended up. This is just speculation, but, I mean, I think the Saints, and it's probably because, you know, Darren was upset and his wife was upset. I would go out on a limb and say, you know, they probably did give him a choice of where he wanted to be traded. They probably let him know who was interested, and they probably gave him a choice because, like, I think he fits in wonderfully with what Chip Kelly is doing in Philly.
Woo!
You know, just as a backup, change of pace, out of the backfield type of dude. But the Eagles are in desperate need of a kick returner. They were in desperate need of a kick returner. And who best to go out and get, you know, do your old Larry Brown thing where you go out and get the person who killed your season, you know, the year before. And if you remember back to that playoff game a few months ago, it was Darren Sproles' kick return that put them in, you know, position to march down for the easy field goal to win the game and move the Saints on to the next round. But I just think he's a great fit with the Eagles offense and what they're doing. You can spell Shady a little bit more, you know, since they're running that quick pace, quick fire offense.
not really rushing the ball, but, you know, when screen passes, stuff like that out of the backfield, I think he's great for
all
what
I know.
Do, so.
When he left, Phillip Rivers, and it took him a long time to recover
to come back.
Like it took him a long time to recover from that. Like, dude is a very important part of a football team.
Yo,
he moves the chain.
But to his
she is a very nice-looking young lady. He definitely overachieved. But Darren Sproles is a heck of a player. Like, he's definitely an overachiever, not only in life, but on the football field. Like, he's tough. He's tough. So I like that pickup. I definitely like that pickup.
So, but to wrap up the Eagles real quick, because we only got a few more minutes to get to the remaining teams we wanted to discuss. The Malcolm Jenkins thing, I think – I don't know. Like I said, I think it's an upgrade over what they had. I'm not really – I'm worried more about what they do in the draft. Like, I'm worried about what young talent they're going to try to get for the defensive backfield. What we should be more concerned about, if you're an Eagles fan, is the defensive line. You get more pressure. You know what I'm saying? Big names. Because a lot of people want those big names. Say they wanted Bird so bad. They wanted T.J. Ward. You start getting some pressure up front. You know, the names in the defensive backfield are going to start to mean less and less because, you know, they're not going to have to be back there trying to do things that they can't do for 4 and 5 seconds at a time. So, you know, I think if they, you know, worry about building this young talent, I think they'll be okay. I'm not mad at the Jenkins pickup. Darius Byrd, of course, he signed with the Saints after they got rid of – after Jenkins left. So they actually got one of the top two safeties in free agency after losing one. So they basically upgraded at the position. You have the Patriots who signed Darrell Revis. We just talked about his contract. Revis was released by the Bucks, so they wouldn't have to pay him his $16 million, plus the $1.5 million roster bonus he had coming to him. So Revis Allen is back in the AFC East. Will Fort for the Patriots wants to be released because they've asked him – to take a salary cut. So he wants his release after 10 years with the club. And then you go to Justin Tuck, who actually signed with the Raiders. Like, what do you guys think that makes any difference in Oakland? And what do you think that does to the New York Giants? He took 2 years, $11 million from Oakland.
I think that he's still able to play at a decently high level, maybe not his peak, but I think there's so much that needs to be worked on in Oakland, he doesn't make a big enough difference. They need other pieces as well.
What say you, Skyview Kevin, up in the chat room? Let us know, you know, before we get out of here, how did you like that signing of Justin Tuck to the Raiders? So what stood out to you guys the most before we get out of here so far in free agency?
I think the Patriots, like, nobody really wants Revis. He can be a cancer or team killer or, you know, uncoachable, all those different things. And the Patriots, like, we'll take him, and you'll hear no problems out of him.
I think Wilford left too. Yeah. Wilford left as well, so I want to see where he goes.
Yeah, he asked to be released. Did they do it yet?
Yeah, from what I saw, I saw it on Twitter. You know, it has to be true because it's on Twitter. I saw somebody talking about it on Twitter. So,
because he asked to be cut, but I don't know if they did it yet. But you said
it's time for us to get out of here. But gentlemen, can I safely say that the JoJo Award this week is Floyd?
Yeah, we can go ahead and get at the Floyd.
Yeah.
That's unanimous.
Floyd,
all right, so JoJo, congratulations, Floyd. You have won the JoJo Award for this week, but we got to get out of here, y'all. Thanks for joining us again in the War Room family. Shout out to everybody who constantly supports. For those that called in, the ones we got to, thank you. For those we didn't, we apologize. Shout out to everybody in the chat room. You know, y'all had it funny in there today. Shout out to everybody on Facebook, Twitter, those on Google+ were sending us messages. Anybody who chimed in, look, we appreciate all the support. Make sure next week, same time, same place, to check back with us. you know, warroomsports.com and keep up with everything. We'll be talking next week with Top Flight, one of the up-and-coming comedians in the Philadelphia area, who's having a charity event for autism, and we'll test his sports knowledge in the process. So everybody, look, make sure warroomsportstv.com for the video content. Facebook and Twitter, we're at warroomsports. Talk to us during the course of the week. And as we always say, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.